Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Lee. Paul sings with such enthusiasm. That was a sermon in that song there. That was wonderful. Let's take a minute and pray. This is, of course, Holy Week, and for each of us personally, I think there would be nothing better if we grew this week spiritually, grew to appreciate Jesus Christ, love Jesus Christ more, and one of the signs of that is just obeying Him and seeking Him and spreading His word and doing those things that He tells us to do, and not just be comfortable Christians, but people who follow Jesus Christ even when it's not comfortable. So let's pray together. Let's pray. Father, we come to You this week, and as we think about the focal point this week of You sending Your Son and how He came and obeyed, and He came to obey to the point of death, even death on the cross. And for each of us personally, this coming week, we'll pray that You would speak to us and minister to us. We would take time to meditate on Your word or meditate on the reality that Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago came to die for my sins personally, and that the gift that we have in Jesus Christ and how precious He is to us, and to love Him more and to obey Him more and to desire Him more and to share the good news about Jesus Christ more. And so, Father, I pray just each of us personally that You would show us the wonderful blessing we have in Jesus Christ, and that You would have us to see Him and grow in Him, and to, again, Father, from this week, be transformed into the image of Your Son, to be transformed to be like Your Son. Father, we pray that as we open up Your word now, You would again speak to us. We are here to hear from You and to the power of Your word, and it's like life. It's a hammer. It's a sword. It's truth. And the flower fades and the grass fades and the flower withers, but the word of God lives forever. Heaven and earth is going to pass away, but Your word will never, 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 never pass away. Teach us from Your word and the power of Your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're here this morning again to look at the names of a Christian. And we've looked at a lot of different names, as we are called Christians and we are called ambassadors. We are called the sons of God. We are called heirs with Christ. And on Christmas Eve, I preached on the message where Jesus speaks to us in the Sermon on the Mount that we are the light of the world. And this morning, Jesus is telling us another label of who we are, that you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So this is the thing we're going to look at this morning. I learned a lot about salt and issues about salt. Now, I do remember, to be honest with you, about at least 25 years ago, there was a time when my wife and I took National Geographic and then saw that their agenda is very evolutionary and we don't take it anymore. The pictures are nice, but their message is kind of contorted. But they did have a message about salt. I thought it was amazing that they had a whole issue about the value in the ancient world of salt. And so I read the article, remembering it saying that to many people, salt almost was as good as silver, not gold, but silver. It had commodity and a value of salt because of all the different things it could do. So I began to do a little studying of salt, and salt comes from a Latin word called salarium, which is where we get the English word also salary. The English word comes from the root word of salt, which is the Latin word of salary. Let me repeat again. S-A-R-L-R-I-U-M. Salarium is the word where you get salary, which is the word for salt. Because the way many people were paid for doing their work, their salary was paid in salt. That's where you get the word or the phrase, are you worth your weight in salt? Have you ever heard that? Are you worth your weight? Are you worth hiring in your weight of 155, 60 pounds? Do you do the work of a man that was, that I pay you in the pounds of salt? Are you worth your weight in salt as I pay you in salt? Because that's your salary. I don't pay you coins. Oh, I'm worth my weight in salt. I'll take your salt. Because salt had so many different ways of usage, people were paid with salt. People were paid with salt. So, salt is pretty important. When Jesus was said, you are the salt of the earth, people knew they were paid in salt and the value of salt. So, let's look at some verses. These are verses from, in fact, these are all the verses except for describing something that was a sea of salt. These are the way the word salt was used in the Old Testament, almost all of them. In Leviticus chapter 2, it says, every grain offering of yours, moreover, you shall season with salt, so that the salt of the covenant of your God shall not be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings you shall offer salt. Now there is an amazing phrase in there that I've never noticed until I did this study about salt. So that the salt of the covenant of your God. Does God have a salt of a covenant? I never knew there was a salt. Look, the salt of the covenant of your God. What is that? I know what that is. That's called kosher salt. Not true. Numbers 18. All the offerings of the holy gift which the sons of Israel offer the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and your daughters with you, as a perpetual atonement. It is an everlasting covenant of salt before the Lord to you and your descendants with you. There it is again. I bet you nobody knows what the covenant of salt is. I didn't know what the covenant of salt is. I never knew there was a covenant of salt. The covenant of salt had to do with the quality of salt. Salt is sodium chloride. And sodium chloride will never, never, never lose its potency. You could take your little salt shaker and leave it on your desk for 500 years, and you can shake it, and it will still have the same salt potency as it does today. That is part of the value of salt. And the writers say the reason there was a covenant of salt was because salt has this commitment and this everlasting quality that God calls these offerings a covenant of salt, and everything was seasoned with salt because that was God's commitment to the children of Israel. You could take it out of the shaker in 500 years, and I'm just as committed to you as I was when it was first put into your little salt shaker. The quality of sodium chloride does not dissipate. Your vitamins may dissipate. Your medication may dissipate. Other things may dissipate. You know, you can put chlorine in a pool and the sun will evaporate it. You got to put more chlorine. You understand what I'm saying? Salt has this amazing quality. That's why people are paid in salt. Because if I have this salt and I need it for the next 50 years, this salt will be just as potent in 50 years. It's still as valuable 50 years from now. And so there was this kosher salt, if I could say this, this covenant of salt, because it was the idea and the view that this commitment that God had made and the sacrifice was as good now as it would be 500 years from now. The commitment of the intrinsic value of salt, the potency of the salt. Let's read on. 2 Chronicles 13:5. Do you not know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave the rule over Israel forever to David and his sons by a covenant of salt? Ezekiel, when they rebuilt the temple, Ezekiel came back. Moreover, I have issued a decree concerning what you are to do to the elders of Judah in the rebuilding of the house of God. The full cost is to be paid by these people from the royal treasury, out of the taxes of the provinces beyond the river, and that without delay. What? Whatever is needed, both young bull and rams and lambs for the burnt offering to the God of heaven, and wheat, salt, wine, anointing oil, as a priest of Jerusalem requested, it is to be given them daily. Salt is the same item needed as much as a ram or a bull or a lamb. Notice, bulls, rams, lambs, wheat, salt, wine, oil to be given to the priest. Ezekiel, then it says, and they may offer acceptable sacrifice to the God of heaven and pray for the life of the king and his sons. And then you have in Ezekiel here, you have here specifically, on the second day you shall make an offering, make offer a male goat without blemish for the sin offering, and they shall cleanse the altar as they cleanse it with the bull. When you have finished cleansing it, you shall present a young bull without blemish and a ram without blemish from the flock. You shall present them before the Lord, and the priest shall throw salt on them as they shall offer up a burnt offering to the Lord. So here he talks about taking the bull offering, and then you should suppose it's almost like a seasoning. And the salt again was a reminder to them and a reminder to God that salt had this everlasting potency, that it was seasoned with salt because God's commitment to them was everlasting about sacrifice and forgiveness of sins and, of course, ultimately the coming of Christ. So that's a view of salt about how it was used in the sacrifice. But then you also have a number of verses that tells us a lot about the power of salt, what salt does. And the you get a lot of salt together and a lot of things can happen. Here it says in Deuteronomy 29, 22, "Now the generation to come, your sons who rise up after you, and the foreigner who comes from the distant land, when they see the plagues of the land and the diseases with which the Lord has afflicted it, will say, all of it is brimstone and salt, a burning waste, unsown, unproductive. No grass grows in it like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, Amad, Zeboiim, which the Lord overthrew in his anger and in his wrath." So here they're saying, when they see what God's power is, they're saying, this is the land of brimstone and salt. You know, when it talked about fire and brimstone, you know, in many ways, many people believe where the Dead Sea is today, where the Dead Sea is today, which has so much salt content and it's so dead, there's nothing that can live in it because of the power of the salt in the water, that that's the place where Sodom and Gomorrah were. Now, we don't know exactly, but I think that there is some good relation that we could probably believe that. That God burned down here, he burnt the cities, he burnt the scorching earth. And here with the salt, it says, it was a wasteland, it was unsown, unproductive, no grass grows in it whatsoever. Let's read on just for a moment. "All the nations will say, why has the Lord thus done this to the land? Why is this great outburst of anger? The men will say, because they forsook the covenant of the Lord, the God of their fathers, which he made with them, and he brought them out of the land of Egypt." How many of you ever been to the Dead Sea? The Dead Sea, a number of you. Okay, well, you know that I was there 2.5 years ago, and you know that there's so much salt that that you go in very slowly. And I remember the person I was with, she said, just take your finger and dip your finger in your tongue, and I did, and it was pretty chemicalized, I'll say that. I mean, it was pretty, you could say salty, but I mean, it was beyond salty. It was something I have not tasted. And they say that you should not let when you go into the Dead Sea, you should not let the water get above your neck. You should not let the water get into any orifices, like a hole, you know, like your nose, like your ears. And this man told me, who took me to the Dead Sea, because I did a concert in Beersheba in the south, and the Dead Sea was only an hour and 15 minutes away. He said he was once there, and one man was so excited to get to the Dead Sea that he ran and ran and ran, and he jumped right into it. He jumped right into it. And the man came out absolute in pain and agony. They had to take him to a hospital immediately because this power of the salt, which got into his nose, which probably seeped into his sinuses, which got into his ears, that's why they say, don't let it get above your neck. Don't let it get above your neck. Well, look at this, the wasteland. Let's read on, other places. Abimelech fought against the city all that day. This is Shechem. And he captured the city and killed the people who were in it. And he razed the city and sowed it with salt. He completely destroyed the city, this ungodly city, and it said he razed it. He put salt on it so that it would actually become a wasteland. The power of a lot of salt, of what it does. Jeremiah 17, "For he will be like a brush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony waste in the wild wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitation." Here it talks about the judgment of God. It will be like a bush in the desert, almost nothing, no prosperity, nothing, wasteland. But notice how he describes it. It will be a land of salt without habitation. And then it talks about when in the temple of God, in Ezekiel, the temple of God, and the water, the living water that flows out of the temple, it says, "And it will come about on that day, every living creature which swarms in every place where the river goes will live, and there will be very much fish, for those waters go there, and others become fresh. So everything will live where the river goes." This is the water flowing out of the temple. And it will come about that the fishermen will stand beside it from Egadith and Egaglam, and there will be a place for the spreading of nets. Their fish will be according to their kind, like the fish of the great sea, very many, but its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They will be left for salt. So here is this the power of salt, the value of the salt, the sprinkling of the salt, the covenant of salt, and here you see about how salt actually has this destructive sense of the wasteland and Sodom and Gomorrah, and here is the river of life, and here is the swamp, and how does he describe it? It's left for salt. It's left to decay and ultimately to have no fruit and no process from it. So, let's talk about salt. Let me tell you that that I know it's not referred to this way, but when you read a lot of Jewish people, there's two books called the Talmud and the Midrash. And the Talmud and the Midrash are books that are written about commenting about the Bible. And interestingly, in those books, they say that salt is as valuable as gold and silver because salt is equated to wisdom. Salt is equated to wisdom. And so, in a sense, if we look at this verse for a minute, listen how the context of it. Look, it's, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Then in the middle of the Beatitudes, after the Beatitudes, he says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt. If it's become tasteless, what can it be salted? And after these verses, he says these things. You have heard the ancient say before, you shall not commit adultery, murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable of the court. The point here is that, oh, it's almost like Jesus saying, here is wisdom. Salt is like wisdom. Here is wisdom. And then he says, the wisdom is these words that I'm saying to you. And now let me show you the true wisdom of the law. Because now he says, you've heard it said, don't murder. But I say, if you have anger in your heart, that's really what it means. It says, you shall not commit adultery. But if you have lust in your heart, that's really what it means. You've heard it said that you should not do these things or take a vow. But I say, if any man takes a vow about that's what it really means. So it's almost like Jesus saying, what I'm telling you is the real truth of wisdom. The real truth of wisdom. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall become. Blessed are the poor. This is the salt of the earth. Salt is equated with wisdom. In fact, many people, sometimes I've seen this in a translation, it says this, you are the salt of the earth. If the salt has become foolish, not tasteless, foolish, because foolishness has to do with knowing what to do, almost like an idea of wisdom. When you look at the book of Proverbs, it's always speaking about search for wisdom like gold, search for wisdom like silver. And the wise man obeys my words. And what is the person who does not obey my words? Foolish. So the foolish person, if he doesn't know this wisdom, he's saying salt is like wisdom. What does Solomon say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is knowledge. The fear of the Lord and all the book of Proverbs is wisdom for life. You could almost say it's the salt of life, the salt of life, the gold of life, the silver of life. Now, I want to just mention something briefly. I was in Texas this week for three concerts, and I was flying on Tuesday to Dallas, and I was walking, and I noticed there was a New York Times on the seat, and it was empty, so I decided to take it. And I read in the New York Times, their science section on Tuesday, that the scientists from blah, 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 and blah, 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 you know, holy, highfalutin, all their names have PhD, 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 that they think they have figured out how Jesus walked on water. And they figured out how Jesus walked on water, that he walked on ice. Did you read that? Did you read that? Yeah. Was it on the internet, or how did you read it? On TV. Oh, I read it in the New York Times. You know, and of course, the New York Times is all the news that's fit to print. That's their slogan. Oh, we don't waste anything. Everything that's worth greatness, we don't waste an inch of our paper. Well, I read it. So they said that between the year 1500 and the year 2500, there were these weird weather patterns. And that it could have been that it got very cold. and that Jesus really, what he was doing was walking on water. So, you know, I think to myself, okay, if it was icy, how was the boat moving if it was icy? That's the first thing. And, you know, it's amazing how we think how stupid people are that lived 50 years ago, right? And, of course, people of 2,000 years, they're real idiots. Here are fishermen. Here are 12 people in a boat. And you're telling me that all 12 of them couldn't notice that Jesus was walking on a piece of ice? And, by the way, how does a piece of ice hold a 145-pound man without being connected? It doesn't. You got to have a pretty big piece of ice. You got to have a drift of an iceberg to hold a person. You're not going to just get on a piece of ice. You're going to, that little ice is not, I mean, just absolute, you know, is this for real? I mean, just common sense tells you this is idiotic. And they can't even predict the weather 3 days from now. You're telling me what the weather was 1,500 years ago? I mean, it's just, you know, because I'm saying salt, wisdom, you are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. The little ordinary Christian having the mind of Christ is the salt of the earth. As Solomon said when we looked at Ecclesiastes, in much wisdom there is madness. So wisdom and salt. And the reason salt is used as wisdom or an equation for wisdom is because the way it's used in many, many ways. There's so many things you can do with salt that it can be used in so many ways that it has many applications. So wisdom has many applications, salt has many. So that's what I'm going to talk about the rest of the time this morning. Many things of what it does. So let's talk about salt this morning. Some of the things, obviously, you're going to know. Salt, primarily, in our day and age now, is used almost 90%+ as not flavoring, but as an additive for preservation. It is used, it has this quality of preserving things. You know, back then they didn't have refrigeration. So I read this, I have some frozen salmon from Costco. And you can buy these fillets. And I opened up this, in my refrigerator, I opened up this frozen salmon, I looked on the back, and a fillet, which is about this big, had a salt content of 160 milligrams. For every one of these things, there was a salt content of 160 milligrams. At Christmas time, someone gave me this gift, sent from another state, and they had, you know, jam and things, you know, these kind of fruit gifts and a little apple, and they had preserved salmon, preserved salmon, and you didn't need to refrigerate it. And it says one little piece this big had 770 milligrams of salt. Now, here is this piece that was the fresh one or frozen from Costco, 160, and here to preserve this, to make it that it's edible, 770 milligrams, which was actually, they said, square inch, 770 milligrams. In fact, when I looked on the back, the biggest product in there was salmon, and the next thing after that was salt. Salt. Now it says, you are the salt of the earth. You know, it talks about, there's different views and things, but you know, it talks about the church being raptured, and then all hell breaking loose. You know why all hell breaks loose when the church is gone? Because finally the world's going to say, great, great, we got rid of those Christians, we got rid of the church, and now we can really be everything we're supposed to be, which is sinners. The world would love to get rid of Christians. They would love to get rid of Jesus Christ. That's why that guy wrote that article. That's the reason they wrote an article. That's why they mocked Jesus Christ about this Gospel of Judas. That's why the Hollywood makes a movie about the Da Vinci Code. They're not going to mock Muhammad. They're not going to mock Buddha because they hate Jesus Christ because men love darkness rather than light. Jesus told us this. Light has come into the world and men love the darkness rather than light and do not come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. You and I, the church, is the conscience of the world. Buddhists are not the conscience of the world. Muslims are not the conscience of the world. Jewish people are not the conscience of the world. America is not the conscience of the world. Jesus Christ's church is the conscience. We are here to stop the world from decaying into anarchy and sin. Did you hear what I said? The church is the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth to say what is yea and yea and what is nay is nay. We are the consciousness of the world. We are the preservation. We are here to stand up for what's right. So that the world doesn't, they'd love to let the homosexuals rule the world. They'd love to have death. They'd love to have all this. They'd love to have, and the reason people write these articles and they hate the church is not because they're smart, it's because they're sinners. They don't have an intellectual problem with Jesus Christ. They have a moral problem with Jesus Christ. A moral problem. It's all about morality. We are here to prevent the world from decay and anarchism. And if you don't stand up for something, you'll fall for anything. So do you stand up for the things of Christ? Do you speak up? I'm not saying you have to be belligerent, but do you say the things that are right and the things that are not right? What is morally not right? What is ethically not right? Thus says the Lord. You know, I preached over the summer a whole series. I didn't finish it. Hopefully to go back to it at some point on Ephesians chapter 1. And the reason I preached this series on Ephesians chapter 1 was because there's a very famous preacher on television which doesn't have a cross in his church but a globe. And he never talks about Jesus Christ. He talks a lot about God. He talks a lot about positive thinking. He talks a lot about being happy. He talks about getting everything you want. He talks about this. But when he's interviewed, he never mentions Jesus Christ. And I said, let me tell you something. If you don't mention Jesus Christ, you're not preaching the gospel. And if your message can't be preached to the African who is about to die from hunger, and you can't preach the message to the man in China who's about to be killed on the electric chair or hanged because he's a Christian, or for the person in Banner Baywood who is racked with cancer, if you can't preach that message to all those people, it's not the gospel. Well, guess what I found out about this guy? He never mentions sin. He never mentions gay marriages. He never mentions abortion. Well, what are you doing? What are you standing up for? No wonder everybody loves you. Because you have people having abortions in your church. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. Did you hear what I said? I guarantee it. Let me tell you something. There is sin in every church. And the less the gospel is preached, the more the sin will flourish in the church. We are a preservation. But on the other hand, we're not here just to be negative. You can pour too much salt, and you know what happens? You've scorched the earth. A Christian's duty is to be salt, is to preserve, is to be helpful, and to salt the land and salt people. And that gives us to the next topic, which is Colossians 4. Conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Notice, conduct yourselves with wisdom. Notice the word is used, wisdom, because the Jews equated salt with wisdom. Notice, outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Read on. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Notice how you respond to each person. So now salt is not only preservation, stopping it from decaying, a way of taking my salmon so it doesn't rot while it's being flown, or staying in the hot Arizona sun that I can open up and it's going to be good because the salt has done its work to preserve it, to stop it from rotting. Salt is also a seasoning. And you know what that is. You have someone, you taste something and you says, pass the salt. Pass the salt. I want some flavor here. It has a positive influence, not just negative. And again, we can be too negative. We can just poo-poo everything, and poop, but we need to show the truth, the positive, the encouragement, the life. This week I was in Texas, and there's this Jewish lady, Karen Faith Heller. This woman came to Christ about 2.5 years ago, and I call her a pastorette of enthusiasm. She's not a pastor. But every time, this woman is convinced that the way of reaching people is to show them how great Jesus Christ is and what he's done for me. And she just says, you know, I don't have to tell them all the negative things. And she says, I do that, but I want to show them what Jesus Christ has done for. And this woman, literally, we had an evangelistic outreach for 55 people, and 43 of them she brought herself personally. 43 people who she said used to go when I went to yoga. I went to all my friends in my yoga class and says, you don't need yoga, you need Jesus. And she brought the whole class to hear my concert. At one point, they're all like this. No, I'm kidding. But you know, let's be positive. So, listen. So the point here is, are you real salt or are you imitation salt? You know what imitation salt is? Are you a fake salt? Are you a salt substitute? Look at these words. Jesus says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law. You do this, you're so true about this, and yet you're so negative about the rest of the world. You don't have justice and mercy and faithfulness. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. See, we can be so negative that we're not being salt, seasoning, positive, encouraging. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. See, the scribes and Pharisees only saw how bad everything was, right? They saw how bad it was. Jesus is bad. Gentiles are bad. The Romans are bad. If you're not in our sect, the Sadducees are bad. No, the Pharisees are bad. The Sadducees are sad. No, the Pharisees are. They were a bunch of sourpusses. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're full of robbery and self-indulgence. Woe to you, blind Pharisee. First clean the inside of the cup and the dish so that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you to outward appearance, you appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You build the temple of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous. And you said, if we'd been living in those days and of our fathers, we wouldn't have partnered with them in the shedding of blood and of the prophets. So you testify against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Just read on for a moment. Fill up therefore the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? So this is the question. If we are the salt of the earth, what difference is there in your life from the world that needs to be salted? You know what they say, there's just as much divorce in Christians as there is in the world. Well, what does that say? You want to have problems? Go to work. You want to have problems? Go to a church. Is there a difference in your life? Is there a difference in your life? Is there a difference in your home? Now, I'm not talking about, do you have a cross? Do you have a thing from Jerusalem? Do you have plaques? Do you have verses? I'm talking about, Jesus is not talking about plaques and mementos. The Pharisees had full of that. He was saying, what about you on the inside? Are you real? Are you real salt? Are you for real? Because let me tell you something. I'm going to Europe in 2 weeks. I don't get paid a dime for 23 concerts I'm giving in Europe. Let me tell you something. If I'm not a real Christian, I'm not doing this for my health. It's hard on my health to go and do 23 concerts in countries. I'm not getting any profit from it. If I'm going to be inwardly unclean, I'm fooling myself. You're fooling yourself. You're not going to be salt. You're not going to have an effect. Jesus is not going to use you. You're substitute salt. You're fake salt. The real salt of the earth is salty, and it seasons. And Paul said that. Be like seasoning, to know to give an answer in that way. I'm fooling myself if I'm not watching my eyes and watching my heart and obeying Christ with my money and obeying Christ with my life. And then I'm going to go out to five countries, love Jesus Christ. That's stupidity. Is there a difference with your money? Is there a difference with your money and your attitude of money? If there isn't, you're not sold. Is there a difference on TV? Is there a difference in your will? If every one of you brought your will, and I brought my brother's will, how different is your will from my brother's Jewish will? How different is it? How different? Is there a difference? If there is no difference, my friend, that's what we're talking about here. Is there a difference? Is there a difference? They say Christian's home is the same as the unchristian home. Christian's money is the same as unchristian money. No seasoning, no effect. let me just, I'll have to go back here for a minute. Let me see if I have this right. You are the salt of the earth. I hope I have this right. If the salt has become tasteless, how shall it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled underfoot by men. I mean, this is something that's not to be. Salt doesn't lose its taste. Salt does not become tasteless. But if it does, what good is it? It has no effect. It has no value. You are the light of the world. Look, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone lamp a light and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Notice, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, Paul said, I'm living a life to make my Jewish brethren jealous of me. Anybody ever get jealous of how your life is? Boy, I want to have your confidence about death. I want to have your attitude about life. I want to know for sure about how you know your sins are forgiven. How do you have these things? Let your light shine before men. That's the whole verse of the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Imitation salt, or as we call it now, salt light, right? L-I-T-E, salt light, not real salt. Substitute. It's not the real thing. Well, who was the real thing? Let's go back then here, if I can. Who was the real thing? You know who the real thing was? Noah was the real thing. let me see where I am here. Sorry. Noah was the real thing. The word of the Lord came to me saying, this is in Ezekiel, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness and I stretch out my hand against it, destroy it with supply of bread and send famine against it and cut it off from both man and beast, even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in the midst, by their own righteousness they could not only deliver themselves. Now notice who he quotes here. So let's go back with this a minute. God is saying through Ezekiel, here is a people that deserted me, and I'm going to bring judgment on them. What if Noah lived in that city? What if Daniel lived in that city? What if Job lived in that city? Not good enough. Now listen to who these three people were. Noah, he was the only man all alone. All alone. Nobody else believed him. He built the ark. He obeyed God. Look at Daniel. All alone. Out of exile. Out of exile. Refused to follow the king. And yet God exalted him and gave him wisdom. Look at Job during the time of Abraham. There was no Jewish nation. There was no Jewish revelation. And yet Job all by himself was a righteous man. What a powerful example. What's another powerful example? Joseph. Joseph was lured by Potiphar's wife. And notice she's always referred to as Potiphar's wife. Potiphar's wife. We don't know her name. Potiphar's wife. And he said, how can I do these things and sin against my God? That's real salt. I'll tell you who for a time was not real salt. David. He was out bathing. He saw a woman and he says, bring her to me. And you know who that was? They call her Bathsheba. But then God, when he speaks to him, he doesn't call her Bathsheba. He says, why did you take Uriah's wife? Why did you take Uriah's wife? Why did you take Uriah's wife? You don't get salt, do you, if you have sin. Salt and sin don't mix. And then we talk about how Paul tells us here in Romans, you who boast in the law, though you're breaking the law, do you dishonor God? you tell the world this and that. Look how idiotic Bill Clinton is. Look how idiotic the New York Times is. What about you? What about you? You condemn others. What about you? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. We confess one thing. That's why Jesus kept saying to them, hypocrites, 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 hypocrites. You do these things, but then you're not real. You're putting on a mask. You're only faking yourself. Listen, my friend, you only delude ourselves. We're not real salt. In Revelation, it says, I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I were that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spit you out of my mouth. What did Elijah say when he was on Mount Carmel? If God is God, worship him. If Baal is God, worship him. Get off the fence. Be real. Be committed in this way. Because my friend, we're the only way it's going to get salty. We're the only salt. We are the only salt. Look at this passage here in Job. Can something tasteless be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? There's no taste in the white of the egg. That's why you scramble it, to make a little, get the yolk throughout all of it. And you know what I see most of us do when we have a sunny side up? You get the salt to put it on the white. My soul refuses to touch them. They are like loathsome food to me. So the wisdom is, listen, the wisdom is, what do I say to who I say what to say to them? The wisdom is, what do I open up my mouth to? Notice the verse. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should respond, notice, to each person. And my friend, that's what God can use you in. Each person. Sometimes the best thing to respond to is to keep your mouth shut. True. When they see we're shut, wow, that speaks volumes without saying a word. Sometimes we need to open up our mouth. But what do I say? To whom do I say it? That takes wisdom. In fact, Paul kept saying to the church 3 or 4 times, pray that I will know what to say in the opening of my mouth. You know that? I just came to my mind. I would find those verses if I could. Pray that I'll have wisdom to know what to say in the opening of my mouth to present the gospel. I'm sure Paul didn't say the same thing to the Jews as he did to the Gentiles or to a certain sect. He had wisdom. Where? How much salt? Oh, that's enough salt. That's enough. Tomorrow we'll learn more. Has wisdom in this. Wisdom. Wisdom and understanding. So salt is a preservative. Salt is a seasoning. Salt is also healing. And you know where I learned about this? From Epsom salt. How many of you have ever used Epsom salt? Well, let me tell you something. Go on the internet, and I learned all about Epsom salt. Salt is why is salt so valuable? Because it has so many ways that it can be used. It can be used on food. It can be used for medicinal purposes. It can be used as a preservative. And then where I lived in Erie, Pennsylvania, where we had 120 inches of snow, it was used for salting the roads, right? Rock salt. We're going to talk about that. Listen. But it's healing. It's healing. Interestingly, let me talk about Epsom salt. Did you know that Epsom salt will remove splinters? I never knew that. Do you know that Epsom salt, you can make a homemade facial mask for cleansing oil out of your skin? I thought you hurt yourself, you put it in Epsom salt. You know that there is certain aromatic therapy that can be used for Epsom. I mean, there were these testimonies of all these people with illnesses who got healed using Epsom salt. Do you know that it is a hairspray? You'd be funny, but then you wash the salt out. Do you know that it is used I'm just looking at all the different things that was written here. A hairspray. Oh, it removes this excess oil from the hair. If you have very oily hair, Epsom salt is a great, well, the point is, it's used in medicinal ways, and interestingly, all the hidden factors. Now, let me show you these verses. Notice, you are the light of the world. Remember, salt. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does any lamp light a lamp and put it under a basket, but under on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine. So light is very obvious. Salt is not so obvious. You see, that's the point. Salt is not so obvious. You don't see everything when you see it on the salad, but oh, it's doing its thing. The church is doing its thing. Very quietly, the church is doing its thing. And it has these medicinal healing ways. I remember a week ago Friday, I went to visit Mrs. Dorset at Banner Baywood. She's had pneumonia, and they wouldn't release her because her salt was too low in her blood. I don't know how high salt's supposed to be, but this was a danger. She didn't have enough salt, and so her Wanda Thompson, we're bringing her all the fried chicken we can, give her all the salt she can, or bring her, having her have a good fatty food or something. So, but all these ways, so it's a healing. Notice this, in Ezekiel, I've quoted this verse many, many times. This is God's covenant to Israel. Notice, when I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, and I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, and while you were in your blood, live. Then I passed by you and I saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. I also swore to enter into a covenant. So this is Ezekiel 16, 6 and 8. But look at verse 4. As for the birth, on your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing, nor were you rubbed with salt. Salt was a way of cleansing the child. Cleansing the child from infection, from the birth canal, and from the placenta and the myocium, or I think that's not the right word, myopium or something. There's a word about the things that are there. So notice, here it says, you are not washed with salt. How are we salt as healing? Listen, you know how we're salt as healing? Forgiveness is healing. Love is healing. Blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What is all that? That's all salt. You're a healing process. You're a medicinal process. People will condemn. You don't condemn. You know, the only people Jesus criticized were the religious hypocrites. That's who Jesus couldn't tolerate. He accepted adulterers. He accepted tax gatherers. Isn't that interesting? Jesus will hobnob with the prostitutes before he hobnobs with some Christians. Notice. Medicinally, reconciliation, forgiveness, going the extra mile. What is that? That's being salt. Turning the other cheek. What is that? That's being going the extra mile. That's salt. And what is all that? A way of healing. The way you can heal a relationship is forgiveness. You're salt. If you want to, you know, some people sometimes want you to pour your gasoline to keep their fire going. You don't need to do that. You don't need to pour gasoline. You don't need to jump on the bandwagon and chop everybody up to make sure you're right. Look what Jesus says here. Listen to these words. This is all healing. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. No, the Pharisees is the kingdom of God. The Sadducees is the kingdom of God. No, blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn. They shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle. They shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They shall. I mean, this is totally healing. Blessed are the merciful. They shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. They shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those when you've been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you, you are the salt of the earth. The whole beginning of the Beatitudes is healing people. Healing people. Ministering to people. He saw the 5,000. Let them go away. No, he saw them like a sheep without a shepherd. And Jesus had compassion upon them. The Son of Man did not come into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Healing. Where are you healing? The world's good at hurting people, isn't it? The world's good at condemning. The world's good at chopping up Christians. When you see the Passion of the Christ, one of the most amazing things, Jesus is on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. And it's not documented, but a Pharisee hears that and he turns around and another thief on the cross says, he prays for you! He prays for you! The very man you've put up there to kill, he prays for you! What did Stephen say? Father, don't hold this against them. Forgive them of their sins, and he's the first martyr. That takes salt. That's salt. The world's good at revenge. You hit me, I hit you. Israel hit the Palestinian, Palestinian hit this. Christians hit the liberals hit this. We do that, we do this. We're good at this. We're good. And then we wonder, what are we fighting about? How did we get into this? When did it all start? Salt is healing. Where are you healing? Where are you healing? Where are you bringing healing? Healing. Who are you healing? And the last thing is rock salt. I remember living in Erie, Pennsylvania. We had 120 inches of rain, of snow, excuse me. Not, I wish it was rain. Well, no, I'm happy with snow because then we wouldn't have moved to Arizona, see? But I remember Joe Norder at my church, the Evangelical Free Church. This guy could keep a 1920 car going. With Bondo. Have you ever heard of Bondo? Oh my, there's a whole world of Bondo. In Pennsylvania, you have to have your car inspected every year. Every year, right? From Oil City, am I right? Every year you have to have your car inspected. And because of so much salt, it rots things in the car. I mean, the engines are great, but the doors are falling apart. I mean, it rattles in the wind. It's the rust, it's all eaten up by the salt. And so you don't get a guy to do this. You don't get a bodywork guy. You're a good, pinchy, money-saving Christian at our Evangelical Free Church, and you're Joe Norder, and he buys gallons of Bondo, and he spreads it on there, and it's just like as good as new. It looks like heck, but it's as good as new. I mean, I remember his cars, he'd drive, and it'd be Bondoed, everywhere Bondo. Oh my, it was a riot. I still laugh about it. Oh man. I had problems with it. He says, Sam, Pastor Sam, I'll bond to your car. Oh, please don't. Oh, don't. Oh, don't. Oh, I'll pay the extra money. Oh man. Well, salt is used to melt ice. You know that you can melt hard things with salt. I mean, this is amazing. I didn't know all this. Look at Psalm 147. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion. Notice, for he has strengthened the bars of the gates. He has blessed your sons within you. He has made peace in your borders. He satisfies you with the finest of the wheat. He sends forth his commands to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word to melt it. God's word melts the ice. He causes the wind to blow and waters to flow. He declares his word to Jacob's statutes and ordinances to Israel. My friend, when you obey God's word, you can harden, you can cut through the hardest obstacle. My word is like a hammer. He sends forth his word and it melts, and it melts. That's why Jesus said, heaven and earth is going to pass away. My words will never, go ahead and crucify me. Go ahead, crucify me. My words will never pass away. You know, I talked about this a few weeks ago. We are the body of Christ. And you can tell somebody, Jesus loves you. How do you know Jesus loves you? We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. I was in prison and you visited me. I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. Jesus can have all the love for the world, but if we don't be his body, they don't know how much he loves him. We are the expression of the heart of Jesus Christ. We are the expression of the heart of Jesus Christ, and that's how we're ultimately salt on the earth. Positive salt, encouraging salt, wanting salt, because they say one of the ways you make people thirsty is to give them salt. Did you know that? One of the ways you make people thirsty is to give them salt. And if you give them the salt of the word and they lick on it and love, boy, I want that salt. But let me tell you something, if I could say this. This has been a little bit on my heart. You and I, little ordinary Christians, are the salt of the earth. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. You know, Billy Graham's a very great believer, great crusade. And Billy Graham's gone all around the world, and he's done a great thing in preaching the gospel. But Billy Graham is not the body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. You know why? Because somebody walks down an aisle at a Billy Graham crusade, and he's a drug addict, he's an alcoholic, he's an immoral person, and what is he going to go, where is he going to go the next Sunday? He's going to go to church. And you know what's going to happen? That church, that little group of ordinary believers, is going to welcome this alcoholic, this druggie, this proud Jewish person, and they've got to deal with him. And they're going to be there to be a medicine to him, and they're going to be there to instruct him. Billy Graham's long gone. The salt of the earth is not Billy Graham. The salt of the earth is not Campus Crusade. Jesus didn't say, I'm going to build Campus Crusade. I'm going to build Billy Graham. I'm going to build Crossworld or UFM, my mission organization. Those are nothing. Those are nothing. It's the church that is there to help the person with their sins. It's the church that is there to guide a person and help them to get on their feet again spiritually. The church is the salt of the earth. You little ordinary, me little ordinary Christians, we are the salt of the earth. I wish they'd get rid of Christian television. I really do. I wish they'd get rid of Christian television. People with these terrible problems, and they hear this great preaching and these great coliseums, they're not ministering to the people's real needs. The church is ministering to the people's real needs. The local church. Not Hagee and Oswald or whatever his name is, or Osteen. No, I'm not saying this to be funny. They're not helping people through their sins and helping people through their addictions and helping people to get on their feet, or if they've lost a widow or they lost a husband or a wife. The church does that. The church does that, my friend. That's why the church can be criticized and the church can be poo-pooed. But we're the salt. We're going out and sending people on the mission field. We're going out and trying to build hospitals and build schools. We're teaching people English. We're helping people and giving relief work. The Red Cross may have given billions, but Christians has given their billions of billions and billions of billions and billions of billions. You find a powerful church, you'll find a powerful salt. I found out from a missionary I found out from a missionary in Texas that for the first time last year, America is the second biggest sending of missionaries in the world. You know who has surpassed America in sending more missionaries than any other country in the world last year? Not China. What? South Korea. Little South Korea. Last year became the number one, and when I was there, 8 years ago, you know how many people they send out? 10,000 missionaries in 1 year. 10,000. My friend, that's salt. That's salt. Let's pray together. Father, we come to you. Make us salt. Make us salty. Give us wisdom to know what to say. Help us to give a preservation to this world. Give us a healing. Give us the words of Christ to melt. And give us, Lord, grace as a church to always be there, to not discard people, but to help people. Reach out to people as we can by the grace of God. Bless your people in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit until Jesus comes again, as he surely will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come Friday night. Come tonight for the Sudan.